Very happy now to be joined by the newest Hall of Famer and the greatest punter in NFL history, Ray Guy. We welcome him back to the show again. And Ray, let's start off with the call. When did you get the call? Who called you? What happened? Did you have a heart attack? Did you say okay and hang up? How did it go down?
No, I really almost not answered the phone, telling no truth about it. But no, it was Saturday afternoon, about 5:42 New York time, and I got the call from Dave Baker, who is the incoming president for the Hall of Fame. And I had to ask him three times, you know, to make sure I heard it right. But yeah, I mean, I got real emotional about it. Yes, I did. And which I couldn't believe it, but all that. But you know, it was something that I had really been waiting on, you know, for many years now, like 8 years and stuff like that. And you know, you get to a point where during the course of the time that you really don't get the call, and you get to wondering, well, I mean, you know, maybe it didn't this year, you know, we'll just wait the next year and see. But I was kind of hoping, and had a little bit more hope this year than I did in the past, because, you know, being in the senior division, it's a little bit easier, you know, on the players and all that, you know, to make it into the Hall, but you're still not sure. But yeah, I was really elated, and it's beginning to soak in now that I am in there, because of all the things that the inductees have to do now between now and August the 2nd, when the enshrinement, you know, goes into process. So I'm staying real busy with it, trying to do my work and trying to, you know, get all the formula filled out for the Hall of Fame to make sure everybody's accounted for and to make sure they're where they're supposed to be and all this, and the do's and the don'ts. So it's a very tiring ordeal, in which they stated it would be between now and August. And but you know, August will be here before you know it, and you may not have everything done. So it's good to go ahead and get a head start on it.
Rick Tittle with Ray Guy. And, you know, it's funny. I always thought over the years why you weren't in, or any punter, and I always thought it was because, well, that means the offense has failed and you're just giving the ball back. But I heard Rod Woodson say something, the Hall of Fame defensive back. He said he did vote for you, but he said he had talked to people, and they simply said nothing against punters. But I can't put a guy in the Hall who's on the field maybe four or five times a game, even though that was your job. And I had never heard about that kind of scrutiny, but
Rick, I mean, I've heard that too, and I hear a lot of times, you know, and my friends and stuff, we're just joking about, well, my God, you only see 60 minutes in a game and you only play 12, well, maybe less than 12. But you know, it doesn't matter any what position you play. It doesn't matter how many times that you are on that field. It's what you do that time you are out there. Do you help?
Right.
Or do you mess up or whatever? So you can't judge the number of minutes and the times that a player's on the field to judge him where he should or should not be honored by some award that he's worked his whole life for, because that one time makes a big difference. One play in a game makes a big difference from the offense or the defense. You know, so, you know, look at Seattle. That one play right at the end technically won the game for him. So, I mean, you know, you can't look at it that way, and I'm with you. I don't know how you can judge somebody on that.
Well, you know, Ray, I grew up a Raider fan. I'm 48 years old. We had season tickets, and I remember when you used to kick off as well, which they don't do anymore. I remember you being the backup, you know, the emergency quarterback, even an emergency DB, that the play in Super Bowl 18 where the snap was going over your head and you jump up with one hand. I mean, all the things that you've done, the way you changed the game as well. I mean, you really were an all-around football player, and I think a lot of people just think you just come in and punt the ball and then go back and have a cigarette or something. You were an all-around football player.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, through the years that you do play, people get kind of focused in on one thing if that's all they hear. You know, that's all you hear, you know, and after on Monday after the game, you know, you're talking about, well, punting averages this, this, and this, but it doesn't say anything in the wording in there you know, what transpired during that game, you know, than just strictly punting. You know, they don't tell about the other accolades that might have happened. And, I was all around athlete. I mean, I wanted to play. I mean, I wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, I wanted to be prepared for anything that would happen for negative-wise. I wanted to be able to make something out of a real bad deal and turn it into a good deal. So, yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate that way to have a lot of athletic ability regardless of what I was doing. And, you know, it pays off because, you know, that helped save the team, you know, in certain cases and kept the momentum on our side and sort of changed to the other. So, you know, people only hear, that's like, you know, me here at Southern, you know, I played all 4 years here in Southern at strong safety and also a baseball pitcher. But over the course of the years, all they have ever heard, you know, is me as a punter. The other things got kind of laid to the side a little bit as far as the recognition until it was brought up, you know, through some other an event or whatever where the other things were mentioned besides just being a punter. And people say, "You kidding? I didn't know you did that." Well, they never heard of it. So how do they know? You know what I'm saying, Rick?
Absolutely. Talking to Ray Guy, the best punter in history. And a lot of people just look at numbers, and they don't understand sometimes – you know, the coffin corner, you did that. You had the confidence to do that. A lot of kickers don't do that anymore. They'll just kick it into the end zone for a touchback. And it's amazing to me, even today, even though we know how important special teams is, that it's kind of an afterthought at the end of practice because most players, you know, they want to start at linebacker. They don't want to be a backup who's running down on kick team. So their heart's not in it. And yet field position is such an enormous thing. You can pin that team back inside their own 10-yard line. You're probably going to get the ball right back. And it's just amazing to me that you were such a vital weapon when it came to field position that people think, what's he doing? He's just kicking the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew that. And, you know, that stems, Rick, from many years of growing up through the ranks of, you know, high school and college and going into the pros, having played in other positions. Whether it was on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, you learn the value of each yard on that football field and how important it is to a win or a loss at the end of the game. So, you know, even being a punter, I knew the importance of that because I know I could gain a lot of yardage just simply by punting the ball. But then, you know, then I had to say, well, now, wait a minute, not just punting is not going to help sometimes. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. So I learned to, you know, instead of kicking it down the middle of the field, I learned how to go different directions on the sideline, whether I want it out of bounds or I want it in bounds, depending on the circumstances and all that. And yeah, I did. I sacrificed a ton of yardage through my career. Simply because I didn't want the ball to be a long punt. I wanted it to be in a certain place to, you know, back that offense up that we were playing against, and most of them were fantastic offenses anyway, because you look at Dan Fouts, you know, with the San Diego Chargers, how potent they were. They could score from anywhere on the field. So you got to be a little – you got to take away your individual goals and worry about the team and helping them out instead of thinking about yourself. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I didn't really, you know, numbers did not mean a lot as far as, you know, your how far you hit it, what was your gross average or net average. And you knew, though, you know, my first 3 years, NFL didn't even count inside the 20. You know, it wasn't until after starting my fourth year that they started counting, you know, inside the 20. So, you know, as far as, you know, net average, I mean, I had a pretty good high average if you go back and add those 3 years in. So, no, I was the team player, Rick, and I always will be, and that's what I did for the Raiders.
Well, you know what? In those days with the Raiders, with Cosell and Noel saying, the Raiders, the criminal element, some people said, Ray Guy, they're putting helium in the footballs. And I remember when I went to the Superdome the Super Bowl is always my age. So I was 15 at Super Bowl 15, and I was excited to see these video replay boards that no other stadium had, but they turned them off and raised them because they thought that you were going to kick the ball into them. And I try to remind people that you weren't just a punter on the team, that you were actually a guy that the other team had to worry about. And I can't think of very many other punters that the other team actually had to think about.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing for them to think about, isn't it, Rich? you know, the other teams kind of overlook the kickers and the punters, you know, on fourth down or kickoffs or whatever. But, you know, I wanted to make myself known, you might want to say, and, you know, and I did. That's like on the kickoff, man. They used to not count for the kicker. But my first few years, you know, with the Raiders, I made a lot of tackles, you know, right at the 20-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that they had to start counting for me. So that actually freed up another guy off from, say, trying to double-team one of our cover guys. So that kind of freed up one to put it on me. So, which we kind of balanced it out. Now we got 11-on-11, you know, instead of 11-on-10. But, yeah, I want to be recognized with it. I want to be recognized as a player, not only as a punter. And, you know, hopefully I did that.
And finally, Ray, just one question about the Raiders today. A lot of people thought, well, you know, now that Al's gone, he brought three Vince Lombardi trophies, but the last decade wasn't that good. But, you know, they wanted the new owner, Mark Davis, to hire a football guy and then hire a coach and get out of the way and just write checks. And that's what they've done with McKenzie and with Dennis Allen. Now, back-to-back four-win seasons, we don't know if the leadership is there. We don't know what direction they're going to go in with the draft either. But what do you think so far? Because obviously it's going to take a while to get things going, but fans are impatient in a league where you can go worst to first very quickly. What do you think about the Raiders right now?
Well, what I do know, Rick, and I've seen over the years, that the football overall has changed. And it's tough now to, you know, when you get into the draft and all this, it's tough to really reach out and get the really top players and all that. And then once you do get them, it's hard to hold on to them. Because with the free agency and all this stuff that has transpired throughout the years and all that. So, you know, the teams that back in the older days, you know, when they got a guy, whether it was on a trade or from the draft, those guys normally stayed around more than 1 or 2 years, you know, but they kept the team as a whole and the unity was still there. It wasn't a unity that would go a couple of years or 3 years and then disperse because a player, you know, wanted more money so he could go somewhere else and all that. So you've got to play more than 2 years together or 3 years together to get to know one another and make it start working as one, not as an individual on every down. But it's tough right now. And Mark's going to be all right. Mark's going to be fine. I mean, you know, it's something he's got to get into, learn the ropes on it. And I think Reggie and Allen's going to be all right with him. Just, you know, bear with him, you know. And but, you know, players are hard to deal with now, too. You know, they got their own way of thinking, Rick.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to tell them what to do, like Coach Madden used to do, you know. You know, but so,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm glad I'm sitting down here in my office and watching the computer.
Well, pretty soon you'll be in Canton, Ohio, being enshrined, and Raider fans and punters and people, the Chris Cluey's, anyone who punted and anyone who's really appreciated what special teams can do, and like I said, all of us Raider fans, we're just overjoyed for you. It's well-deserved, and thank you so much for your time, Ray, and we look forward to talking to you again. Have a great time in Canton.
My friend. You take care and tell everybody I said hi, Rick.
I definitely will. The greatest punter of all time, Ray Guy, right here. Come on back.